You swore you checked the edges of the page. Little steps where answers used to
Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So I want you to imagine for a second that you are living with this really terrifying medical reality.
Right.
There's a life-threatening heart condition running in your family, specifically the aorta, which, you know, is that main high-pressure artery carrying blood away from your heart. It has this genetic tendency to just stretch out.
And eventually tear.
Exactly. Oh. Without any warning whatsoever, it threatens to tear completely. It's called a sudden aortic dissection. Now, you know for a fact that it's genetic because, well, you've watched it happen to your relatives.
Yeah, it's incredibly tragic.
It is. But here's the wild part. Every single time doctors run a standard DNA test to find the culprit, the results come back completely normal.
Which is just an agonizing scenario for the patients, obviously, but also for the clinicians trying to treat them.
How is that even possible, though?
Well, you know the danger is lurking somewhere in your biology, right? Mm-hmm. But the standard diagnostic tools are effectively blind to it. We're dealing with a phenomenon where the machinery looking for the break is, well, it's simply scanning the wrong frequency.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because today's mission is to solve this exact medical mystery. What if the genetic mutation isn't in the main instruction manual of the gene, but is instead hiding deep in the junk DNA?
Tricking your cells into physically cutting and pasting the wrong genetic code.
Exactly. So today's deep dive is venturing into the hidden mechanisms of sudden aortic dissections.
And today we celebrate the work of Susan Walker, David J. Bunyan, Alistair T. Pagnamenta, and a massive collaborative team across Genomics England, the NHS, and various UK universities who have advanced our understanding of Marfan syndrome and the hidden genetic variants that cause it.
Yeah, and we should mention this deep dive is based on their incredible 2025 paper from Genetics in Medicine. This research just fundamentally shifts how we look at cardiovascular genetics.
It really does.
But to understand the blind spot they uncovered, we first need to kind of understand the condition at the center of the mystery, which is Marfan syndrome.
Right. So Marfan syndrome is a connective tissue disorder. It affects roughly, I'd say, 2 to 3 in every 10,000 people.
Okay.
And often the outward signs are skeletal. People with Marfan syndrome are frequently exceptionally tall. They have, you know, unusually long limbs, fingers, and toes.
Right. You can often physically see the signs.
You can. But the cardinal feature, the aspect that really dictates survival, is cardiovascular.
You mean the structural integrity of the heart and its major vessels?
Exactly. Because without surgical intervention, the stretching of the aorta progresses to a sudden dissection, which is, it's often fatal. Biologically, the root cause is traced back to variants in a single gene called FBN1.
FBN1.
Yeah. This gene basically acts as the manufacturing plant for a protein called fibrillin-1.
I always think of fibrillin-1 as functioning like microscopic rubber bands within the human body.
That's a great way to picture it.
Right, because every time your heart beats, the aorta has to expand to handle that massive surge of blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, it has to snap back.
And fibrillin-1 is the crucial protein that gives the connective tissues in the aortic wall that elasticity and strength.
So if the body manufactures defective fibrillin, those tissues just can't handle the mechanical stress.
Exactly. The layers of the artery wall literally begin to delaminate and give way. Now, for classic, easily identifiable cases of Marfan syndrome, standard clinical genetics actually perform quite well.
They do?
Yeah. Sequencing tests can pinpoint the mutation in the FBN1 gene in over 90% of those classic cases.
Oh, wow. 90% is huge.
It is. The clinical team finds the spelling error, they confirm the molecular diagnosis, and then they initiate a treatment plan.
But here is where the mystery deepens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the paper highlights a specific subset of patients dealing with familial thoracic aortic aneurysm disease,
right.
Or FT.
FTA.
And for families presenting almost exclusively with the aortic aneurysm-like, without all those obvious skeletal features we mentioned, the success rate of those standard DNA tests just plummets.
It really drops off a cliff. The diagnostic yield drops below 10%.
Less than 10%. That's awful.
So these families end up embarking on a diagnostic odyssey. They're bouncing between specialists for years, fully aware they possess a genetic vulnerability, but entirely unable to map it.
So to understand why those standard tests are failing these specific families, we really have to look at the mechanics of how human cells actually read genetic code.
Right, because standard diagnostic panels are typically designed to scan only the coding regions of a gene.
Okay, so think of a gene like a movie being edited. Your DNA is the raw footage, the exons are the good scenes, the actual coding instructions you want to keep in the final cut.
And the introns are the outtakes.
Exactly. The behind-the-scenes footage, the vast stretches of DNA that end up on the cutting room floor. When your cells need to manufacture the fibrillin protein, a biological machine called the spliceosome moves in.
Right, it cuts out all the intron outtakes.
Yeah, and splices the good exon scenes together into a final coherent script.
But standard clinical DNA tests are essentially only reviewing that final movie cut. They scan the exons to see if there's a spelling error in the main script.
But if the standard tests are only looking at the final movie, how do we find out if a rogue director is, like, sneaking bloopers back into the film?
Well, the researchers realized they needed to look at the cutting room floor. They required an immense volume of unedited raw footage.
And where do you get that much raw genetic footage?
They utilized the 100,000 Genomes Project. It's this monumental whole genome sequencing data set in the UK. This gave them aggregated data for over 78,000 individuals.
78,000.
Yeah. And within that massive pool, they isolated a cohort of 703 people recruited specifically because they suffered from unexplained FGUT.
But wait, scanning 78,000 whole genomes is incomprehensible. Human researchers can't just eyeball miles of intronic junk DNA to find a single biological typo.
No, they definitely can't. So they deployed a deep learning artificial intelligence tool called Splice AI.
Splice AI, yeah.
This neural network is trained on the human genome's intricate splicing patterns. Its specific job is to predict if a mutation, even one buried deep in the non-coding intronic DNA, will alter the biochemical probabilities of that cutting and pasting process.
So it basically assigns a numerical score to variants, highlighting the ones most likely to disrupt the splice system's editing routine.
Exactly.
The research team made a highly irregular but honestly brilliant methodological choice here. Typically, when researchers run this AI, they define a really narrow search window, right? Like about 50 base pairs of DNA around a known mutation.
Yeah, that's the standard.
But this team blew that window wide open, expanding the search area tenfold to 500 base pairs.
What's fascinating here is that genetic context dictates function. Sometimes an intronic mutation doesn't disrupt a splice site immediately adjacent to it.
Right.
Instead, it alters the folding of the RNA molecule, creating a toxic splice site hundreds of base pairs away. Widening the AI's analytical window allowed the tool to capture distant, hidden ripple effects that conventional, narrow searches consistently miss.
But wait, AI hallucination is a documented problem across all neural networks. Splice AI might flag a sequence as a toxic splice site, but a 500 base pair window is massive.
It is a lot of data.
By opening the aperture that wide, didn't the researchers risk generating just a sea of false positives? Like, how do you prove an AI's prediction is actually manifesting inside a patient's cardiovascular system?
Well, the researchers anticipated that exact skepticism. An algorithmic flag is not a clinical diagnosis.
Right.
They required rigorous laboratory validation to prove the AI was correct. Their first approach involved RNA sequencing and a technique called RT-PCR using actual patient blood samples.
Okay, let's break down RT-PCR because it's kind of the bridge between the computer prediction and the physical proof. RNA is the active, edited message the cell uses to build the protein. But the FBN1 gene is mostly active in connective tissues, not in blood. Trying to find the fibrillin RNA in a blood draw is like trying to listen to a whisper across a crowded room.
A very crowded room.
Right. So RT-PCR acts as a highly targeted biological amplifier. It isolates that specific whisper and copies it millions of times until the signal is loud enough for researchers to physically read the edited sequence and confirm if the AI's predicted glitch is actually there.
And that amplification is critical, but there's a logistical hurdle. What happens when fresh blood samples simply aren't available?
Oh.
Some patients in these historical cohorts had passed away or, you know, just couldn't be recontacted.
So without the patient's cells, you can't amplify the RNA. So how did they test the AI's prediction then?
They engineered minigene constructs. It is a brilliant piece of synthetic biology.
Immunogenes.
Yeah. The researchers took a fast-growing laboratory cell line completely separate from the patient and inserted an artificial segment of the patient's FBN1 gene, complete with the suspected intronic mutation.
So they basically built a custom test track for the mutant gene in a petri dish.
Exactly. They forced lab cells to process the patient's exact genetic code, and they observed the cells cutting and pasting the RNA in real time.
Wow.
This allowed them to isolate the splicing errors directly, proving the AI's prediction was biochemically accurate, entirely independent of the patient's physical presence.
Okay, so we have an AI dragnet scanning 78,000 whole genomes with a massive 500 base pair window, backed by RT-PCR amplification and lab-grown minigenes to verify every single catch.
It's extremely thorough.
When they finally flipped the switch and ran the analysis, what did the actual numbers reveal?
Well, across the entire data set, looking strictly at the FBN1 gene, the sequencing revealed 13,864 singleton variants.
14,000.
Right. These are unique spelling errors found in only one person. It's an overwhelming amount of genetic noise.
Yeah.
But when processed through Splice AI, the algorithm filtered that massive list and flagged just 21 variants with scores indicating severe splicing disruption.
Wait, filtering nearly 14,000 variants down to 21? That's incredible. But statistical flags don't equal disease.
No, they don't.
Did those 21 specific mutations actually correlate with the patient suffering from the aortic aneurysms?
The correlation was immense. The researchers calculated the odds ratio, which is a statistical measure of association.
Right.
They found that individuals diagnosed with FTAD were 84 times more likely to carry one of these specific AI-flagged splice variants than the participants without the cardiovascular condition.
An odds ratio of 84. I mean, in the realm of genetics, you rarely see a statistical signal that loud.
It's massive.
It definitively proves these variants aren't just random background noise, right? They are the pathogenic drivers of the disease.
Absolutely. Combining their primary and secondary analyses, the team isolated 20 unique hidden variants across 23 different families, directly affecting 32 individuals.
Wow.
And an extraordinary 70% of these variants were located deep within the intronic region's territory that is entirely ignored by standard diagnostic panels.
Let's look at the mechanical damage these mutations are actually causing. Because the most common and arguably most destructive phenomenon they documented is called pseudo-exonization.
Yeah. Evolving our earlier analogy, the spliceosome looks for specific biochemical passwords, splice donor and acceptor sites, to know exactly where to cut the genetic film.
Right, the cutting room floor.
Pseudo-exonization occurs when a single random spelling error in the intronic junk DNA accidentally creates a perfect counterfeit password.
Ah, so the cellular editor sees the counterfeit password and assumes a massive block of intronic junk is actually a vital scene that belongs in the movie.
Exactly.
It pastes a toxic, nonsensical chunk of code right into the middle of the vital ferrule instructions.
And then the cell obediently manufactures a protein with a massive structural defect grafted right into its core.
Which means the fibrillin-1 protein cannot fold correctly.
Right. It cannot interlock with other proteins, and the connective tissue in the aorta loses its essential elasticity.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's look at the specific mutations, because they found a pattern that kind of challenges how we think about genetic inheritance.
Oh, absolutely. The most striking example is a specific deep intronic variant designated C.1589-1217GT.
Okay.
Despite being vanishingly rare in the general population, this exact same mutation was discovered independently in 5 completely separate, unrelated families across the UK.
Independent mutations are so fascinating, because to prove they didn't all just inherit it from a single common ancestor centuries ago, researchers use haplotype tracing, right?
That's right.
They look at the genetic neighborhood, like the sequence of other DNA markers immediately surrounding the mutation. If the 5 families inherited it from one ancestor, the surrounding neighborhood would look identical in all of them.
But the haplotype tracing revealed diverse genetic neighborhoods. There was no single founder.
Wow.
This specific nucleotide seems to be a structural weak point in the human genome, prone to recurrent mutation. And when the specific mutation occurs, the pseudo-exonization it triggers is catastrophic.
What does it do?
It inserts a 202 base pair block of junk directly into the FBN1 gene.
A 202 base pair counterfeit sequence. That completely shreds the structural integrity of the resulting protein.
It ruins it.
But while that mutation destroyed the middle of the protein, Family 9 showed us something arguably more insidious, right?
Yeah.
A mutation that hijacks the very beginning of the manufacturing process.
Yes. Family 9 presented with a variant that extended the 5-foot UTR. The UTR is the untranslated region.
Right.
Before the actual coding sequence of a gene begins, there is a stretch of RNA that acts as a runway for the ribosome, which is the cellular machine that builds the protein.
Okay.
The ribosome binds to this runway and scans forward, looking for the specific start codon to begin manufacturing.
So the mutation in Family 9 created what the paper calls an upstream open reading frame, or a UORF.
Exactly. It generated a counterfeit start signal prematurely on the runway. The ribosome binds to the RNA, reads the fake start signal, and immediately begins building a garbage protein.
A garbage protein, wow.
Yeah, and the ribosome gets confused by the nonsensical sequence and drops off the RNA strand entirely before it ever reaches the actual instructions for fibrillin 1.
It derails the train before it even leaves the station.
That's exactly what happens.
The patient in this family exhibited classic aortic root dilation. Yet all standard genetic tests were completely blind to this fake starting line because it was hidden in the untranslated runway.
Completely blind.
We have pseudoexons pasting massive blocks of junk into the middle of the protein, and URRFs hijacking the translation process at the start. So if you are a patient currently navigating a diagnostic odyssey, what is the actual clinical impact of these findings?
The immediate measurable impact is that identifying these specific deep intronic variants boosts the diagnostic yield for previously unsolved FTED cases by approximately 3%.
Now, if you're wondering why a 3% increase matters, put yourself in the shoes of a patient in Family 22 from this study.
Oh, Family 22 is a perfect example.
For that family, that 3% is the difference between living in a constant state of anxiety and actually receiving targeted, life-saving medical care.
Because Family 22 represents a massive four-generation pedigree. Before this study, they knew the aortic aneurysms were passing through their bloodline, but standard testing offered zero answers.
Right. Every member of that family had to live under the assumption that their aorta could dissect at any moment.
But by utilizing whole genome sequencing and splice AI, the researchers found the hidden intronic variant responsible for the disease in a father and son.
And now that they know the exact molecular signature of the threat, they can implement cascade testing,
which is the ultimate goal of diagnostic genetics. They can now test cousins, aunts, uncles, and siblings specifically for this newly discovered variant.
Yeah.
If a relative carries it, they're immediately enrolled in high-frequency cardiac surveillance and can undergo preventative surgery before an aneurysm ever ruptures.
And conversely, if a relative tests negative for this specific marker, they are entirely freed from a lifetime of anxiety and unnecessary invasive cardiovascular screening.
It is precision medicine functioning exactly as intended.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But the clinical utility is undeniable, right? Implementing this across the broader healthcare system presents significant hurdles, though.
Definitely. We discussed the reliance on RT-PCR and minigenes to prove these splicing errors. Because the FBN1 gene is poorly expressed in blood, obtaining a strong enough RNA signal to validate an AI prediction requires highly specialized laboratory protocols.
You can't just run this validation at a local hospital clinic.
No, you can't.
It requires bespoke testing methods, isolating specific cell types, and relying on expert laboratories to separate the genetic signal from the noise.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, despite the technical difficulty of the laboratory validation, the overarching argument presented by the researchers is absolute. Clinical diagnostic pipelines must evolve.
They have to.
We can no longer afford to restrict our view to the standard coding regions of genes, particularly when dealing with highly suspicious familial diseases.
Right.
We must integrate whole genome sequencing and advanced predictive tools like splice AI to interrogate the intronic sequences. The cost of ignoring the junk DNA is simply too high.
So what does this all mean? If we synthesize the data from the 100,000 Genomes Project and the exhaustive laboratory work of this research team, the conclusion is clear. Deep intronic genetic variants, long ignored by standard diagnostic panels, are a critical and hidden cause of Marfan syndrome and sudden aortic aneurysms.
Absolutely.
By driving catastrophic cellular errors like pseudoexonization and upstream open reading frames, these hidden mutations trick our biology into destroying vital cardiovascular proteins. However, by combining the massive scope of whole genome sequencing with the pattern recognition capabilities of artificial intelligence and rigorous RNA validation, we can finally illuminate these genetic blind spots. We have the tools to end the diagnostic odyssey for these families and save lives through highly targeted cascade screening. What does this mean for the thousands of patients with other unexplained genetic conditions who'd have been told their standard DNA tests are normal?
That is the big question.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now, stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Check the edges of the page. Eight little steps where answers used to stay. But deeper in the dark of quiet code, a hidden syllable takes the wrong road. A whisper cuts the sentences into a phantom mind. The cell breathes through bright screens. Long nights we zoom in close and watch the normal. Grow.